Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith.
Colossians 3, 16 and 17, it's in your sermon notes, says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Today, as we talk in this series of Sharing the Faith, I want to talk about staying on message and keeping the message at the core of what the gospel or the good news of Jesus is. And as we've 2 weeks ago, we talked about how important it is to live authentically, to love unconditionally, and to lead wisely. And one of the things in leading wisely is that we are called to love people, not to win arguments. And so we want to, and last week we looked at being at open doors and closed doors, and that we are the second witness as we go and we share our story and share God's story of love for mankind, that the Holy Spirit always goes before us and guides and directs us. And we used a couple tools 2 weeks ago. You got a dollar bill, and we looked at the difference between believing and actually receiving and taking Christ into our life. And in order to receive it, we have to reach and we have to embrace it. We have to take it in to our life. And last week you got a little Gideon New Testament, and to remind us that we have the Word of God within us, and His Word goes out powerfully for us. And as we looked at the end of that message, we talked about the importance of praying, expecting God to open doors, to be perceptive, to listen to their story, and be ready to share our story of God's love. C.S. Lewis said that if Christianity is false, it is of no importance. If it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And so today we want to talk about staying on message. And there are just two primary points that I have in this. And I just want to just tell you that when we look at the good news of Jesus and how mankind can have a relationship with the Creator of this universe, here's what we find. The message is simple. Now, it's simple, but it is not simplistic. The gospel is simple enough for a small child to understand, and yet it's deep enough for us to ponder and to look at for the rest of eternity. The gospel is this: we are more sinful than we ever imagined, and God is more loving than we ever realized before. We are more sinful than we're ever willing to admit, and God is more loving than we could have ever imagined. And after you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you see how holy he is and how imperfect we are and how much we need God every day in our life. We realize more and more how simple yet profound the gospel is, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We sing about it in some of our songs, in many of our songs. When I survey the wondrous cross. You know, you look at the words of that hymn, and it just reminds you just the simple message that God sent his Son to give his life on our behalf. God, through his Son, he died the death we could not die, and he lived the life we could not live, so we could have a relationship with him. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's in your notes here. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, notice this. I didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except, notice this, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And then notice this, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever speeches and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. You have on the back of your sermon notes for the last 3 weeks, God's plan of salvation, God's grace, and Bible references there. You can see that is the gospel in a nutshell, so to speak. God loves us, but our problem is our sin separates us from God, that our righteousness cannot get us God's favor. This is not works-based. Jesus said, I am the way, not I'll show you the way. Christianity says that Jesus died for us. He took our sins in his body on the tree. He died, he was buried, and he rose again in newness of life. And that if you'll place your faith in him, he will grant you forgiveness of your sins, put the hope of the Holy Spirit within you, and help you to live a holy life. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16 says, worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, notice this, would you underline it? Always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to give an answer for it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way, and keep your conscience clear. So what is the answer that we give them? Well, he tells us in verse 18, what is the hope of our message? Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body and made alive in the spirit. I'll say it again. We are more sinful than we'd ever like to admit, and God is more loving than we could ever have imagined. And a key in sharing our faith or giving an answer for the hope that we have is not really to come off looking good or brilliant or knowledgeable. The message is simple, but it's not simplistic. It is straightforward. It is practical. It's down to earth. Be authentic. One time a man was healed by Jesus, and they were saying, what power did he do this by? And the religious people were asking him all sorts of questions. He goes, I don't know who this man is, but what I know is this. I was blind, and now I see. We are not called to defend God or to tell people things about God that we don't know. And we need to tell God, or we need to tell others about God, about what he has done in our life and it is doing in our life. When we talk about leading wisely, wisdom doesn't show itself in the ability to explain something confusingly with big words that no one understands. Rather, it is taking something no one understands and makes it so easily understood. I heard of an old story of a professor of divinity that decided to do a mission trip, and he thought it would be good in helping him express the great truths of Christianity. And so he went on the mission field, and in his first spot he needed to have a translator. And so he started his talk this way. He said, I want to talk to you today about the transcendent, omnipotent, ubiquitous God that we serve. He is the propitiation we need in the eschatological hope of the world. And the translator looked at him and then looked back at the large crowd and said, he said he's glad to be here. Listen, that's our message to Christ. God said he was glad to be here and send his son because he loves you. And no matter what you've done or where you've been or whatever has supported your life, God loves you with an everlasting love. So much so that he sent his son. You see, we're not here to impress people. We're here to influence them with the gospel. God doesn't call upon his followers to show us off by impressing people with the depths of our brilliance and excellence. What God asks us to do is for us to show up by influencing as many around us with the transforming power of Jesus Christ. In his grace. How simple is the message? Simple enough that a child can understand it. In Luke 10:21, after Jesus had sent his disciples out and given them power to go and proclaim the word and do wonderful deeds, and they came back and they give the report to him, and Jesus, as he's beginning to thank God for what he is seeing, the ministry going through his disciples, it tells us in Luke 10:21, at that time Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and, would you underline this, revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. At another time in Matthew 18, Jesus was asked the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And this Jesus who wowed people, and they were amazed by his words and how practical and how he made difficult concepts just seem really understandable. He called a little child up before him. And then he said, I tell you the truth, and underline this, unless you turn from your sins, a word that we use the word repentance, that means turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get in to the kingdom of heaven. Now, is that simple enough to understand? Yes. Is it politically correct? No. It's simplistic. It's not hard to understand. But what happens is when we don't want to admit our sin, then we don't want simple answers, and we look for more confusing answers. Jesus goes on to say, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see this throughout the Bible. One such place is in Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, Jesus goes into the area called the Gerasenes, and there is a man that is demon-possessed, and he is so much the community doesn't know what to do with him, and so they go and they chain him in the graveyard. But what would happen is when the demons came upon him, he would just go wild, and he would break the chains, and he would unclothe himself, and he'd go through the neighborhood. It doesn't say this, but probably doing all that kind of stuff. You know, just people were spooked by it, okay? Well, he encounters Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, and he goes, who are you? And he says, I'm Legion. And Jesus casts those demons out of that man and puts him into a herd of a swine, and they run off the cliff, kill all the swine. That's what the demons wanted to do to the soul of this man. And all of a sudden, the people come, and they see him, and he's this man, and he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. They're scared. They tell Jesus, get away from here. You know, you have more power than anything we've ever seen, but it freaks us out some. And this man was wanting to go with Jesus. He wanted to get in the boat and go with Jesus. And Jesus said something incredible to him. The man who had been freed from the demons, here it is in Luke 8, 38, begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him home saying, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. I would argue Jesus called him to do a more difficult thing than following the physical form of Jesus and getting in the boat where people didn't know his past and didn't know his history, didn't know where he came from and could tell all the stories about him, and said, you go back and you give testimony to what I am doing in your life. So he went back through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. I would argue there's a lot he didn't know theologically. There was a lot he still didn't know about the ramifications of following Jesus. But what he did is he shared what he knew. That's what you're asked to do by God. Jesus, in some of his final words of his disciples before his crucifixion, he filled their lives with the hope of eternity and his presence in their life. And he told them to not live with troubled hearts about their world getting ready to turn upside down. He goes, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he comes in John 14:6 and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now let me ask you, is that simple to understand? Yes, it is. Again, I'll ask the question again. Is it politically correct in this world? No, it's not. And there's the rub. And you will see, and you can see this throughout here, that once you introduce the name of Jesus in a conversation, otherwise kind and tolerant people would be very accepting of religious and spiritual and being do-gooders and doing all that kind of stuff. But the name of Jesus and his death and his resurrection in the spirit world is the defining factor of all life. And in our world, we see the angst and the anger and the distrust, the vile things that are said about the name of Jesus. It's a simple message. It's a simple message that God loves us, but our rebellion, something the scripture calls sin, separates us from God. Again, I'll say it again. He lived the life we could not live, and he died the death we should have died. It's not complicated, but it'll change your life if you embrace it. As I was preparing this message, I thought about an individual, one of the simplistic of them, how simple the message is. Back when I was pastoring in a different town, our state representative, his name was Steve, and he went to church on a regular basis, was a good man. And in fact, I had he and his wife in our church around July, and they had just spoken of things about faith, and primarily his wife had shared. And I worked with his wife, Kathy. We brought Phil Driscoll, a Christian trumpet player, come and to share his testimony. And so I knew her a little bit better. But at the end of 1997, he was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer and was given just a few months to live. And just a couple hours after that diagnosis, I got word of it. And so I stopped up to the hospital just to poke in and say hi and offer prayer and my support with them. And so I asked Steve, I said, Steve, you know, you've talked about going to church and faith and things, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? He says, yeah, I'm okay. I said, well, good. They had their own pastor and stuff. I said, oh, I'll be praying for you through this. It was over the holiday season, and right after the next, 2 days later, actually, I get a call from Kathy. He said, Steve's home, and that conversation he had with you has really, really been kind of bothering him a little bit, and he'd like to come over and just talk to you about some things. And so I went to his home. Kathy greeted me at the door, and I sat around their kitchen table. And Kathy left the room. It was just Steve and me. He goes, Pastor, he called me David. He said, David, he goes, I remember as a kid going forward at a special services at the United Methodist Church that he was at, and with some other boys, and I prayed a prayer. And he goes, I just want to know, you talked about, do I know from the Bible, that I know from God's Word that I have a relationship with Jesus. And so I just kind of went through a similar plan that you have on the back of your sermon notes there. And I remember him saying, I mean, this was about 16 years ago. And I just as I tell the story, I know we were sitting on the table. I can see the motions. I can see the look in Steve's eyes. And he goes, that's it? Accepting Jesus Christ? I said, yeah. And he pushed back from the table and he goes, then I'm good. He says, David, he goes, everything in life I've had to fight for and work for. I grew up in a farm family. I'm a farmer, and you have to work the ground, and you have to work it hard, and you have to have perseverance. I'm a legislator. You have to fight. You have to fight to get the things that you feel about in. He goes, I've suffered from kidney disease. I've had to fight and been a fighter physically. Well, what you're saying is, this is God's gift to me. I said, that's it, Steve. He goes, okay. Here was a person that really was a believer in Jesus and had received it, but had always been trying to do good things. And if Steve were still alive today, and I had the privilege of speaking at his funeral at a big auditorium with the governor of Nebraska, and there were a number of people that were there at that particular funeral. And he goes, I want you to preach Jesus. And that man grew more spiritually in the few months he had left on this life than he did in the almost 40 years since he first said that prayer. And what was the difference? He began to act upon God's word. And as people came in, he would start, I didn't have to tell him, he started asking people, do you know where you are with Jesus? Tell me your story of faith. Listen, this is what God will do in your life. You will grow once you embrace that it's not what you have. We're not trying to impress people. We're not trying to impress God. God just doesn't want us to be better people. He wants this life of His Son to be within us, to come to recognize our weaknesses. When we are weak, that's when we are strong, because we rely upon Him. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. For God said, let the light shine out of the darkness, is the one who shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glorious knowledge of God in the face of Christ. So the light of the world shined in our lights, but we have this treasure in clay jars, full of weaknesses, so that the extraordinary power that belongs from God does not come from us, but from God. This simple message is profound because it is lived in us. The message is simple, and the message is Jesus. Paul said in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, I decided that while I was with you, notice this, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ and the one who was crucified. Now, Paul gives us other passages that talk about incredible theology, and we can spend a lot of time talking and unpacking. Christianity is a thinking religion, but when you come to engage people that do not yet know Christ as their Savior, the message needs to be simple, and it needs to be Jesus. Jesus crucified for our sins. We memorize this one, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For what I received from you, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Peter in Acts, as he gets up and begins to proclaim after the healing there in the book of Acts, chapter 4, he goes, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed in the power of the name. Notice this, Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one who is referred to in Scriptures where it says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. It's not enough to say God loves me and has a plan for my life. That love is only experienced in its fullness as you accept Christ's death on your behalf. Paul goes on to write in 2 Corinthians 5, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to Himself. For God, would you underline this, was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are, underline this, Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. Underline this, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God, underline this, made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through who? Through Christ, Jesus the Christ. He lived the life we could not live and died the death we should have died. Everything that happened to Jesus physically happened to you spiritually in the spiritual world and the power of sin died in Jesus. It was dead. It was buried. I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Satan is defeated. The risen Christ lives in me through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who leads, guides, directs, corrects, and is the Lord of my life. It's what Jesus did on your behalf. Romans 8:1, you might want to write that down. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And there's a whole lot of good stuff in between the pages of the first chapter, or the first verse of Romans 8 and the last verse. But let me just give you the last verse of Romans chapter 8. Actually, the last two verses. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither fears for today nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in, here it is, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So it's no wonder as you read, and I only have one here for you as 2 weeks ago, we talked about Peter and the Ethiopian and how he went led of the Holy Spirit into this man's life. And from the scripture that he was reading, it tells us in Romans 8:35 that Philip began from that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about what? Jesus. The message was Jesus. Paul writes in Acts 20:24, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful grace. Keep it simple and focused on Jesus. Now, it's easy to talk about in an environment like this, but let's just be honest. It's harder to do, isn't it? Isn't it harder to do? Door seems to open up, and all of a sudden we wonder, how did I get here, and what do I say, and what do I do? And so I want to give us some practical steps of how we keep the message simple, and we're ready to give an answer to make it clear and pristine when the doors open for us to give the message of Scripture. And the first thing is, we start with prayer, and I have a quote here for you. Billy Graham said, prayer is crucial in evangelism, or sharing your faith is what evangelism means. Only God can change the heart. No matter how logical our arguments or how fervent our appeals, our words will accomplish nothing unless God's Spirit prepares the way. So the first thing I would just say, and you have this in your notes already, start with prayer. We've just been through a series of on prayer. Make prayer, and you were encouraged last week to write down the name of an individual that you're praying that God will work for through. You have in your notes today, if you haven't done that already, start writing that down on in your essential list in your notes there. That's where some of the names of people need to be placed. This last Monday night, we had our local board of administration, our church board meeting here. And we talked about a number of things, but at the end of that service, or at the end of that board meeting, rather, it was a very special time when we just prayed to God, and various board members gave the first name of the person that they are praying that God would open the door for them to share faith with. And I want to encourage you in your life connections or in your groups or in with your accountability partners to begin praying by name for the people that you're asking God to help you reach. Another practical step on this is lead with your actions and not with your words. We're not going to information people into the kingdom. lead with your actions first. Show the love of Christ. This week, I think it was on Thursday of this week, we got a note back from Oklahoma, from Shawnee, Oklahoma, actually. It's to the Concordia Wesleyan Church. We know that God is the creator of all and exists and is the fountain of blessings that flow to mankind. We were recently blessed with the presence of several members of your congregation who volunteered their time and efforts to do for us what we were no longer able to do for ourselves. They constructed doors for my shop building that were destroyed in the tornado last year. They made many repairs to the building, rebuilt a lean-to to the back of the building, made repairs to our house, and did a lot of cleanup, straightening up, and left everything tidy and in order. God understands how much we appreciated them, but we wanted the members of your congregation to know just what a wonderful group of Christians they are and to express our deep appreciation. We feel certain this group of dedicated people are representative of the rest of the people there in Concordia. To simply say thank you seems insufficient, but there are no words better to express our feelings to Kurt Jenneru, John Neal, Boyd Steffen, Elijah Steffen, Christy Schrader, Brandon Schrader, Ryan Schrader, Bill, and Juanita Howard. Listen, this is just putting your faith into action. And you guys do it on a regular basis throughout the week. Now, continue what you're doing, but I would encourage what Paul told the Thessalonians, excel still more. The world will know that you are Christians by your love for one another and for your love in this world. So lead with your actions, not your words. Now, let me just say one more thing about this. What I am not saying is saying, well, I'll just live the good life and live such a good life that people will be drawn to God. I think we'd all agree we're not better than Jesus, right? Would we all agree with that? I expected a little bit better response, okay? We're not better than Jesus, right? Okay. Even Jesus used words. Okay. Live the good life. Live authentically. But Jesus had to use words. And so, live the life. Be authentic. Don't try to be somebody you're not. But God gave you words to begin to share with others. Okay? Lead with your actions, not your words, but don't cop out and say, I just won't talk. Okay? Listen to their story. Listen to their story. Find out about it. Genuinely love them. Love them unconditionally. There ought to be some times in which people in your life say, I've never told anybody this before, or I haven't said this in a long time, where you provide a safe place where they know you're not judging them. You're not going to jump down their throat. You're not going to be a Bible thumper. Because you care for them, you're going to draw them out. And what you want to create is to say, your story matters. And your story matters because you matter to God. That's the heart of the gospel. God loves you. God wants to be in relationship with you. Now, as you listen to their story, here's just another thing to be watchful of. If no one is questioning, stop answering. Okay? You're not going to information them into the kingdom. Instead, ask God to help you formulate the questions of their heart. You know, the scripture tells us that God has placed eternity on the hearts of man. God has put, you know, from Ryan Reese in his testimony, he goes, I was just empty. I was hopeless. There was something I needed. There had to be something more to life. God has put that innately within people. Their desire for meaning, significance, their wondering of the pain in the world. And I would say, keep the simple truths. Keep to the simple truths. The simple message of the gospel and the simple message of that. Listen, we can get in all kinds of things that divert us away from the simple message of Jesus Christ. Let me just name a few. Politics. That can take us a while. You have to vote in a certain way or be part of a particular party or whatever to be in. Listen, Jesus, when he got his disciples, very interesting, in Matthew chapter 10, you can go read it, verses 1 to 3 later, he got a tax collector and Simon the Zealot. Now, a tax collector, the Jews, was a sellout for Israel, and they were working for the Roman government. A zealot was, the Roman government considered them more like a terrorist. I mean, they were wanting to overthrow them. And Jesus picked both of them. And what he was saying is that there's something bigger here than your political persuasion, your political bent. There's something bigger. Now listen, politics are important. You need to vote on November 4th. I wonder why people pray for our country if they're not willing to vote, okay? And so I'll just say it this way. You pray, and then you vote. You put actions to your prayers, and you be informed, and you know what it was about. But listen, if everyone that I wanted, that I believe was the right person, to got into the particular office, not only locally, but nationally, in the presidential elections, it's still not the hope of the world. We're still going to need God, and we're still going to need to confront our sin. And so let's not make politics more important than the simple message of Jesus Christ. People don't come to Jesus because they think, well, I'm going to have to change my life. Some people will be uncomfortable hearing a story of Ryan Reese, who continued to struggle with some of his addictions after knowing Christ. But listen, Christianity is not behavior modification. It's changed from the inside out. And there ought to be some things in our life that the Holy Spirit says, that attitude wasn't quite right. That action is not something I really want in your life. There ought to be a continual progression of you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. I have several other things. Let me just hit one. End time speculation. Sometimes we think end times, is this the end of the world or not? Listen, here's a very simple message. It sure seems like we're coming into the last days, but here's what I know for sure. I am in my last days and so are you. That's pretty simple. Jesus tells us in Matthew 13, no one knows the day or the hour, the things that will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will be on guard and stay alert. Why are we trying to convince people that Jesus is coming again if they haven't accepted the truth that he came the first time to die for their sins? Hello? Here's a very good line. When it comes to Jesus' return, and he is going to return, you and I are on the welcoming committee, not the programming committee. So when Jesus returns, let's say, Jesus, we've been expecting you. Thank you. Our redemption draws nigh. It's because we're on the welcome committee, we're trying to get as many people prepared for that day. Every time you read in the epistles about Jesus' return, it says things like, so you ought to be this kind of people. You ought to honor Jesus Christ in your daily life. I've got more, but listen, it's simple, it's Spirit-led, the message about Jesus. Let me share two more things with you. An essential list. The people in your life that do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, or you don't know where they are. And listen, go ahead and write your name down if you're not sure about your salvation. If you're not sure about that, say, God, I'm the one that is in need of prayer. And then I want to encourage you. By the way, invite them to do something. I have more. Okay, I'm sorry. An essential list. You write down the names of people that you're going to be praying for. And then an essential date, because part of what we're wanting to do as a congregation is to mobilize us to be prepared and have the tools and the resources. Listen, just write down the date, November the 9th. November the 9th is going to be a great Sunday here at our church. We're going to be showing in both services a 30-minute clip from the Billy Graham evangelistic system with powerful testimonies in the preaching of Billy Graham. I want you to invite people to that day, people that you know, that you've been working with, people that you have in your life, co-workers, neighbors and things, bring them. We are going to be praying as a congregation. One of the things I hear regularly from visitors at our church of how welcoming this is, the friendliest church that they've been to. But listen, we are especially going to be great on that day, and we're going to be loving, and we're going to be praying for people. We're going to introduce ourselves. And we're believing that many people are going to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, or that conversations are going to follow after that. Listen, you'll want to come to Trunk and Treat. You'll want to be a part of that. You'll want to see the people that are there. And then perhaps you will see them during the course of the next week. And you can say, hey, it was great to have you there. What was it like? And did you enjoy it? Have any suggestions that we could do it different? Hey, would you come to church with me? And when we talk about inviting them something to do, offer to take them out for lunch afterwards, or get together, or maybe just sit down and have a conversation with them. But let the Spirit of God begin to direct and lead your life. I want you to be praying, by the way. That didn't show up there. Should be there. Nope, didn't show up. November the 9th was that date by. November the 9th, okay? Next week we're going to talk about telling your story. How do I share the story? How do I formulate my story for God? Let's pray.